You don't prepare in a battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play away your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield then start learning how to shoot a gun is a dead soldier. You are not in ministry to compete, you are in ministry to work. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a gold soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God's grace. You do ministry well. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you. You're faithful, you are kind. You're good, you are merciful. We exalt you, Jesus. Let's keep blessing him where you are. Praise. Bless him. Bless him from the depth of your heart. Bless him. Be thoughtful while considering the goodness of God. Be thoughtful. Be thoughtful. Give him praise. Give him praise. Bless him. Bless your name, Jesus. We honor you, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you adoration, Father. You are greatly to be praised. 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 I bless you, Lord. I lift my voice to give you praise. I exalt you, Father. You are a rock of ages. The hell shall die, God. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. Accept all our thanks. Accept all our worship. Accept all our thanksgiving. We bless you, Lord. We give you praise. We bless you. We bless you. We give you praise. Father, we bless you. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Bless you. Just lift your voice and give him praise. Bless him truly from the depth of your heart. Bless him truly from the depth of your heart. Bless him truly from the depth of your heart. Just keep giving him praise. Bless you, Lord. You are the ancient of days, the I am that I am. I bless you. I honor you, Father. I honor you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we're praying. Now I'd like to show us a scripture. I'd like to show us a scripture quickly. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. And the word I want to bring out is the word forget not. Because sometimes ingratitude is a product of forgetfulness. You get what I'm saying? That we are quick to ask, but slow to remember what he has done. Are you seeing that? We are very quick to ask God to do something new, to bless us, to lift us, to do amazing things in our time. But we are very slow to remember. All right, the Bible said, very importantly there, said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Meaning that we have to come to a point that we teach ourselves not to forget. We must be taught not to forget. If not, we'll forget. You have to remember, sit back. You have to intentionally remember what God has done. Intentionally. All right, don't do it when it comes. Intentionally remember the blessedness of the Lord. Amen. I want you to lift your voice one more time and say, Father, I am not forgetful. I remember your benevolence, your goodness. They are fresh in my memory, and I give you praise for it. I bless you. Go ahead, lift your voice and bless him for that. Lift those voices, bless him. Oh Lord, I'm not forgetful. No, 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 no. I remember. Ah, I remember. I remember your goodness. Oh Lord, I bless you. I remember how good you've always been. I bless you, Jesus. Oh, I bless you. I don't have to be forced to remember. I remember how good you are. I bless you. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Hallelujah. I want to show something this morning, more importantly, and I believe we'll be blessed. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. I'd like to get feedback. If you can hear me well, say hello. If you can hear me well. Give feedback. Let's be sure you can hear well. Amen. I'd like us to turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew 25. Matthew chapter number 25. Let's turn our Bibles there. If you have your mobile Bibles with you, if you have your hard copy, pick your Bibles. Matthew 25. If you're there, say amen. Say it loud and clear. Now there's a story here, a very important one. So I'm going to have a long reading, and I believe the story will bless us. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Are you seeing that? While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Verse 6. And at midnight, there was a cry made. The cry was made. It was fashioned. Just the same way the Bible said, no weapon fashioned against us. So this was a specific cry for a specific people. The cry was made. It was a cry made for the moment, those that were sleeping. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And I love this parable so much, because it is one of the parables that really address the event that will happen before the coming of Jesus. All right, across generations, the church, every generation keeps expecting, you know, waiting for that generation that will be privileged and fortunate to enjoy the coming of the king. But the Bible said a generation came that slept. Are you seeing that? They slept. They were waiting for the coming of the bridegroom, but while he tarried, they slept. The Bible said he tarried, meaning that he didn't come at the time they were expecting. And then they all slept. It was a season that there seemed to be nothing like a revival to usher in the coming of Jesus. It was a season of silence, because the church had long been waiting, and then the expectation made the hearts of many grow cold. So the Bible said they slept. But in the midst of that slumber, there was a specially designed noise to revive the church. And we saw a replica of that in Joel chapter number 2. Turn your Bibles there quickly. If you have your Bible, Joel chapter number 2. All right, be fast. I want to show us something. There was something about the cry that is to usher in the coming of Jesus. Joel 2, if you are there, say amen. If you are there, say amen. Say it loud and clear. Alright, give me a minute. While the bridegroom tarried, they all what? They all what? They slept. Somebody say they slept. Alright, if you can read from verse 1, read. Joel 2 from verse 1. Yes, read for us. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Are you seeing that? Meaning that there is a trumpet. The cry that is to usher in Jesus is a trumpet. It is a trumpet that is to be blown in Zion. Meaning that the noise that will usher in the coming of Jesus will come from nowhere else but the church. All right, blow ye the trumpet in what? In where? In Zion. Sound the alarm. Are you seeing that? Sound what? The alarm. Meaning that while the church seems to be sleeping, there is a cry to be made. An alarm is coming. You know, I have seen people, and I've said this over and over again, people who brought different kind of dividing prophecies and said they had visions that close to the time that Jesus was coming, they saw that in a church of over millions of people, only few were able to make it with Jesus. And that's not the spirit of the New Testament. Because even while the church is sleeping, a cry is going to be made. It is a cry of mercy. A revival is going to come. For instance, the pandemic we are having around the world is a kind of cry. You know what I'm saying? What it will do is that it will wake men up and alert them. Give them a consciousness that Jesus is coming. It will give the church a consciousness that we are not for this world. Are you seeing that? So today I want to teach about the sleeping church in a dying world. The sleeping church in a dying world. The sleeping church in a dying world. You know, the Bible never talked about the wise virgin sleeping and the unwise, and the unwise sleeping and the wise being awake. You get what I'm saying? Meaning that while the bridegroom tarry to come, there is something delayed doors both to the wise and to the foolish. And the Bible said they all slept. So, as we approach the coming of Jesus, something big is going to happen. Both those that are wise and those that are foolish. A season will come that it will look like everyone is sleeping. And that's why we are here. That an alarm is being made. And the alarm is to revive men. The alarm is to call men back to righteousness. The alarm is to tell us that we don't belong here. The bridegroom is coming. Amen. I'd like to show us a scripture. Revelation chapter number 2. Turn your Bibles there. Revelation 2. Revelation chapter number 2. Turn your Bibles there. Quickly. Revelation 2. So, John, the unborn, the one that was dumped on the island of Patmos, was privileged to see a revelation of Jesus. All right, and the journey started in the book of Revelation, chapter number 1. And from verse 10, when he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I returned to see the voice that spake to me with me, and I turned and saw seven golden lampstands, candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about with paps, with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were as white as like a wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. And his feet was like unto a fine brass, as if they were thorned, burned in a furnace, and his voice were like the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Are you seeing that? Verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I live forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest, and in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars and the angels of the church, of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Are you seeing that? Meaning that according to Jesus, the symbol of a true church is a candlestick that burns before the throne. A church can have a big building, but no candlestick before God. He said, the seven stars that you saw, they are the seven angels of the church. The angels there refers to the word pastors, the shepherds of the church, the angels of the assembly. And the candlesticks talks about the presence of the church. You know, we saw in the book of Leviticus 6, from verse 12, the Bible said that the fire should not stop burning on the altar, but the priest would burn wood on it morning by morning. Are you seeing that? All right, so this was a special message for the church. Some Bible scholars believe that this message are for the seventh generation of the church. But I believe this message are for the seven categories of churches. And that's why we are here. They are for what? Seven categories of churches. See, the word church is not talking about the place. The last day, the event of the last days is going to try the definition of the people about the word church. Because there are so many events that will unfold that will hinder physical gatherings. Are you seeing that? So many events will unfold that will hinder physical gatherings. But the church goes beyond the physical gathering. The church is an institution. Jesus was speaking in Matthew 16. He said, I will build this institution called church. All right? And this institution will stand against the gate of hell, and the gate of hell will not prevail against it. So the church is a spiritual entity that has legal occupancy on earth with the assignment to prepare the bride. Are you seeing that? So the church is God's institution. It is God's built institution upon the earth, the bride. When Jesus was speaking that the harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few, the laborers will be sent into the church. The laborers will be sent into the church. Meaning that it is not possible to have one who is not a part of us to labor. They cannot truly labor. You have to be a part of this institution. You see, in the body of Christ, we have men that are called ministry gift. They are the response of God to the prayer of the people. Anywhere there is a need for answer, God sends a man. Are you seeing that? Anywhere a generation cries, God sends a man. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. So sons are given as instruments, as angels to the church. And that's why this message was sent. Send this message to the seven churches. And I'm praying that may we not build places, and may we not build big places that are so big, but has no angel and have no candlestick before the Lord. But the churches here have angels and they have candlestick. And the first church that the message was sent to, in Revelation 2 from verse 1, it said, unto the angels of the church of Ephesus write. So it means, I was thinking during workers' meeting that the importance of having a shepherd. The message of the Lord will come through your angel. God did not send a message to the church directly. Meaning that in the last days, those who refuse to be pastored will have issues. You hear what I'm saying? They will face many tribulations that are untold. Those who have not submitted themselves in a place where they can be led. Because God is going to be sending words to the angels of the church. There are specific men that are strategic in light of what God is doing in the last days. They are conduit pipes of the mysteries of God. So he said, unto the angel of this church, right, send this message to the angel. Get the message delivered. In Ezekiel 37, we read that place during our workers' meeting this morning. From verse 1, the Bible said something very important about the watchman sent over the Israelite. And he said, when I send evil, when I tell the watchman that there is a sword coming upon the land, and he wants the people, but they fail to change. And the sword comes and take the evil man away in his own evil ways. The blood of the evil man shall be on his neck. But in verse 7, the Bible said, tell the Israelite, that I've appointed you as a watchman over the house of Israel, that you should hear for the word that come out of my mouth and warn the people. So the message sent to the seven churches, they are not just mere message of consolation. They are not a message of sign that God is watching. They are message of warnings to show us where the church is aligning and where we are failing in alignment. Are you seeing that? So they are message showing us the areas we are failing in alignment. Hallelujah. So unto the church, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. So I want us to follow the strategic progression. God will never boycott protocol. He sent the message unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Write these things. This thing says he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And thy patience, how thou desires, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored. Say it again, God is seeing the labors of the church. Say it again, God is seeing the labors of the church. Are you seeing that? I said, I know your patience. I know those who are laboring correctly. I know the true shepherds amongst you. I know those who are laboring according to precept. And I know those who are not laboring correctly. And that's the word of the Lord. He said, I have seen your patience, And now that you cannot bear them who claim to be apostles but are not. But they said, these things I have against you. And these are words of correction. All right, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Because you have left your what? You have left your first love. So this is one thing I have against you. You are doing well. When the people who don't know the standard sees you, they think you know what is. They think you are the standard. But you have left the ordinance. Alright? This one thing I have against you. Despite the fact that you have an active system of discernment, yet you have not been able to discern what is going on within you. You have not been able to discern your own tribulation. You have not been able to discern your own issues. You have not been able to discern the drop in your own love level. So he said, I have these things against you. They are very serious issues. That you have forsaken your first love. Remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first works, else I will come unto you quickly, and remove your candlestick out of place, except you repent. So the judgment for those people will be that the Lord will remove their candlestick, except repentance comes. And that's a very serious issue. Warning can only come to a church that has a candlestick. So those who don't even have a staying power, those who don't have presence before the Lord, those who are not recognized are not warned. Because already they are not dwelling. Already they don't know what it means to dwell in the presence of the Lord. So he's saying that I'm having these things against you, that you are an active generation of churches of discernment. You are active generation of churches of co-laborers, of laborers. You have men. You are doing the work of the faith. But there is something going on your inside. There's something you have not paid attention to on your inside. And what is it? You have left your first love. You are a church that can discern multitudes, but cannot discern yourself. You are a church that identifies people. You know people. You know what is wrong. But you have not been able to look inward and take care of yourself in the areas that you are weak. You have fallen from a great height, but you have not been able to restore yourself. So this is one thing I have against you. In your active work of evangelism, you are doing so much assignment, but yet something has been watered down. What I want from you, this generation of church, is not just your discernment as touching the apostolic movement, but it is that your candlestick will be burning day and night, that your love will be fresh. You know, when I read the scripture, I was wondering, what is the proof of a love that is fresh before God? Are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible said, where the treasure of a man is, that's where his heart will be. So we can tell that your love is fresh by looking at the posture of your heart. And I wrote some things some days ago, and I was asking people, what do you really want? I spoke about people, you know, all of fame of faith, men like A.W. Tozer, Leonard Reverend Hills, fathers of faith, Smith Wigglesworth, Oral Roboth. I specifically watched the interview with Billy Graham when he was asked that he would have to start ministry afresh. What is that one thing he would want to do correctly? What is that one thing he feels in his heart that he has not learned well? And he said, I will do less of preaching and traveling up and down. I will stay with God. You know, I've come to discover that there is a way the activity of preaching can take us away from our conjugal activity of staying with him. It's like a marriage. When a man is married, in the first year he loves his wife, they parade each other everywhere. They dance around the street. They are happy, go to groceries together, and they go to eat. Until children start coming, then the attention starts shifting. You get what I'm saying? The children start coming, then now they have to take care of children. They can no longer remember the last time they looked into each other's face, eyes, and tell each other, I love you. Because now there are kids, and then the love they have for each other are watering down. But God is saying here that the church I want is a church that will place value on the conjugal duty of a bride to her husband, which is the same power, than attention to the effect of that conjugal duty. The effect of that relationship is that now you have ministries, you have things that have been committed to your hands, but that true value will be placed on staying. You get what I'm saying? That now you have many things you have to do. You have to move from one country to another, from one state to another, holding the Bible and preaching the message. But God is saying, hold the message, but hold me much more. You get what I'm saying? I'm not saying you should not preach, but hold me much more. Because something happens when the messenger cleaves to the one who sent him a message. You see, the messenger can be so attracted to the place where he has been sent to and forget the one who sent him. You see, this is the mystery. It is not enough to run with what God said. It is important you stay to hear what God is saying. Because the messengers of the last day church, they are not the people that will keep running up and down with what they heard. He spoke, but much more, he's still speaking. Are you seeing that? God spoke. He gave you a message. He gave you an assignment, but much more, he's still speaking. When you run with what he said, you will not be valid in the days to come. Because those days are the days of what he's saying. You see, God spoke to Abraham when he gave Abraham a child. And he looked at Abraham and he said to him, Abraham, now I can see that your attention is drawn towards Isaac. When we stay well with God, we are people of faith. Isaac will come. That's the truth. Prosperity will come. You'll get married. The blessings will come. But God is still going to look down from heaven and tell you, now I see that you have your Isaac, your son that you love. Sacrifice him. Sacrifice him. And that's the word. You get what I'm saying? So God said to Abraham, take this son Isaac and lead him to a slaughter's lamb. I once said that I will give you a nation, and yet I've given you a seed. But you have to walk this seed to an altar. If not, it will only remain a seed. And Abraham walked with Isaac, and Isaac with two servants, carrying wood, carrying knives and ropes. And Isaac had to ask the father, that what is it? You have the wood, we have the lamb, we have the oil. Where is the sacrifice? And they said, God will provide. And they got to the place where they had to make the sacrifice, and they laid Isaac flat on the altar, and it was to slaughter him on the strength of what God said. But now God still spoke from heaven and said, don't lay your hands on that child, for now I know that you slaughter me. So when the church, I know that you honor me, sorry. When the church run with what they hear from God, it may be valid for a season. You get what I'm saying? Yes. Doctrines of churches, ordinances, they're a product of what we once heard. They may be useful for a season, but the time will come that God will say something new. And the proof that you love him will be that you listen attentively. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. You see, it is possible to hear to love the instruction more than the one who gave the instruction. And your heart is stayed on the instruction. You know, you hold it tightly. I've come to discern that in ministry, lack of flexibility is a proof that you love the instruction and not the instructor. Are you seeing that? Lack of flexibility is a proof that you value the instruction and not the instructor. Where the instructor is loved, there will be so many changes. And that's the problem of the first church, the church at Ephesus. Their first love had been watered down. They were a church now that was walking in the ordinances of men. So God had to speak. You know, women will ask their husband on several occasions, I'm not sure you still love me. You know what I'm saying? And the man will say, I love you. I make money available. Take care of the kids. Provide money for groceries. You know what I'm saying? Provide shelter. Make sure that no one in the family ever lacks. But to the woman, that is not enough. You get what I'm saying? Doing all those things are never enough. You need to take extra step. Go extra mile and say it. And with God, it's the same way. You need to prove that you are still in love. The love that we have towards God is not a love. It's not a love that is seen only in our activities. Not so. That is not the way God is honored. We have to do certain things over and over again. Our hearts have to be stayed on him. So God is quick to detect once there is a slight deviation. He's quick to know once something has shifted. And many have shifted, but it is difficult to know you have shifted because you are still zealous. You get what I'm saying? It is difficult. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast what? Fallen. Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen. Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen. You know, to fall is different from backsliding. A fall is the final product of many episodes of backsliding. A fall is the final product of many episodes of backsliding. You know, for Bible scholars, you may quickly want to ask in your heart, then why will we refer to the fall of man from the Garden of Eden as a fall? Because it only happened once. It didn't happen once. First and foremost, when the serpent came to Eve, the serpent discovered that between the communication from God to Adam and Adam to Eve, there has been a miscommunication. Because Adam said, and Eve said to the serpent, that God said that we should not eat of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and neither shall we touch. And that was not the instruction of God. So that was an attempt. That was a backsliding step. Because God never said so. Also, God gave the woman to be an helpmeet to the husband. But the serpent came in a place where she was alone. He saw that there was also a deviation from the ordinances of God. And he met them that way. And also, in Genesis, the serpent was standing before Eve. That one should desire to make one wise, lust of the flesh. Are you seeing that? Because the processes have been left long unchecked. So the Bible is saying to this church, that despite the fact that you've been going about praying, we used to be together, that you didn't have so many engagements, that we'll hold hands together in your prayer room and dance. We'll hold hands and sing songs. We'll hold hands, you know, and pray. And you'll be with me all your days. And you'll shed tears. And I'll have to be the one to console you. But now you are preaching. You are busy everywhere. And God was simply saying to the church of Ephesus, I have missed you. And that was the communications of God to that church. I have missed you. And I believe God is still saying that to many people. We are still doing ministry, but we are missing. Missing in action. Is somebody following me? Hallelujah. All right, so God said, look at it, verse 6. But thou hast that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden. Which is in the midst of the paradise of God, which is also Eden. So God is saying that these words will only be heard by people who have ears. And you see, the ears here is not about your physical extension. The ears here is your eyes of understanding. That only a people whose heart of understanding is enlightened will see what the Lord is saying. But also I want to show us about the church. And I believe that there is a reason why God wants me to show us about the church. Now, that's Revelation 2 verse 12. And that's the church of Pergamos. The church of Pergamos. We need to listen attentively because there's a reason for this. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, this thing says he, that has sharp sword with two edges. Now, if you pay attention, you will notice that each time the word of God is described, it is described as a double-edged sword. You know why? It is so that the church, the word can bless both the preacher and the pew. It is not double-sided. It is double-edged. Only a cutlass is one-sided. A sword of necessity is double-sided. And I need to tell you the reason for this. The reason why the word of God was compared to a sword. Because the enemy can be coming from either of the sides. So you have to be sharp on both edges. But the Bible also went on to say, don't just be sharp on both edges. You have to be sharp on both ends. And that's why it is double-edged sword. You are already sharp on both edges, but you have to be sharp on both ends. You get what I'm saying? You have to be sharp on the end that the word from your mouth blesses the people. But there is an end that should face you. That while the word is assembling those that are lost, that while the word is taking care of those that are sick, that the word can still preach and pierce the preacher. That is, the preacher of the word or the student of the word should never get to the point that the word can only pierce those listening to you and cannot pierce you. Because it is possible to hold a word that bless the pew and not the pulpit. And the Bible is saying this is not the pattern of God. So the word of Christ is a double-edged sword. Meaning that you can preach the word and yet there is a conviction in your heart. That there is something that you need to align with. Hallelujah. So this is the church at Pergamos. Please pay attention. I know your works and where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and you have not denied the faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain amongst you, where Satan dwelleth. So this is a church of men. You see, this church well describes the church of the last days. Alright? Because Christ was speaking to the angels of the church, and he said, I know where you dwell. You dwell where Satan dwells. You dwell in a season that his operations will be in full manifestation. So I know your works. You also dwell in the season that there is so much persecution. Antipas was killed. So, but in the midst of those persecution, you hold the faith. You know, you will believe that the church that is holding the faith despite persecution is a perfect church. Are you getting what I'm saying here? If people look at the church, they say the church is holding the faith. Even when some of them are martyrs. But Christ is saying that the fact that you are dwelling where Satan dwells, the fact that you are holding the faith in the face of martyrdom, is still not a proof that you are doing what heaven expects of you. And this is why the word is coming to the church. Hallelujah. Alright, so, like I said, if you are laboring correctly, God knows your work. He knows those who are laboring. Amen. But look at it. Verse 14. Revelation 2 verse 14. But I have a few things against you, because thou hast dear them that holds the doctrine of Balaam. That holds the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling stone block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Now listen to me. It's saying that despite the fact that you are a tribulation church, despite the fact that you are a church in a season of tribulation, but there is still something very actively against you. You are holding on to a doctrine, and the doctrine is the doctrine of Balak that they taught Balaam. Alright? Or the doctrine of Balaam that was received from Balak. And that story can be found in the book of Numbers, chapter number 22 to Numbers 25. In Numbers 23 specifically, Balak called Balaam. Balak was a priest, all right, somewhere outside the system of the Israelite. And he needed the Israelite out of his way. So he paid Balaam. You know what I'm saying? The Bible said he offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams on 7 different altars. That is 14 different animals on 7 altars. And that's 14 times 7. And what was the purpose of that? He said, come and curse me, Israel, and defy me, the nation of Jacob. You get what I'm saying? But each time, Balaam, the servant of God, was paying attention to what Balak was saying. Somehow, Balaam was going to curse the people. But each time, he looked downwards and looked at the progression, the arrangement, the assemblage of the Israelites. He saw the hands of God on them. So he couldn't curse them. So in the book of Numbers 23, verse 23, and that scripture is a popular scripture. It was a product of what Balaam saw when he couldn't curse the Israelites. And he said, surely there is no divination against Israel, neither is there any enchantment against Jacob. Meaning that this was a generation of church that no tribulation could work against. No enchantments could speak against. So Balaam could not curse them. But something happened in Numbers 25. The Bible said the Israelites began to commit whoredom. They began to commit what? Whoredom. That is, with the children of Edom. They started committing fornication. Whoredom. That is, they mingled themselves with their idols. You get what I'm saying? In the book of Daniel, chapter number 1 from verse 12. Daniel 1 from verse 8 to 12. That was what Daniel refused. The Bible said Daniel proposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's portion. Meaning that the church that will meet the coming of Jesus will be a church of denial. The church that will deny themselves from what is expedient. To carry your cross daily is to deny legitimate passion. Are you seeing that? Alright, so this church will not just be church and skeptical about what is illegitimate. Even what is legitimate, they will be careful about them. They can deny them and carry their cross and follow. So the doctrine of Balak is the doctrine that tells the Israelites that you can fornicate. You can eat things sacrificed to idols. And yet the edge over you is still intact. And that's the doctrine we hear more in the last days. Telling the people, was that similar also to what the devil told Jesus in Luke chapter number 4 when he came to lead him to a temptation? Are you seeing that? And the devil spoke to him and took him to a top of a mountain. And he said concerning God's word, that the word of God has said that even when you jump, angels have been given charge over you to keep your feet from stumbling. If you are the son of God, jump. Are you seeing that? That's a trap. That's a temptation. Trying to inflate his head so his crown can fall. Saying that if you are a son of God, prove it. How was the devil telling Jesus to prove his sonship? By messing up. If you are a son, prove your sonship by messing up. But wait, the true way to prove sonship is that the next expectation of creation, wait for the manifestation of the sons. So sonship is not proven by messing up. Sonship is proven by manifestation, by manifesting the glory of God. So the doctrine of Balak is the doctrine that says that if you are the son of God, jump. After all, there is grace speaking for you. If you are the son of God, jump. After all, there is divine protection. God has given his angels charge over your feet. The sleeping church is a church that is jumping. The sleeping church is a church that is jumping. Even when the devil knows that it will cost many their lives. Because not many will enjoy the mercy or the grace that will bring them back. Some will jump and they will eat their heads upon the rock and never to come back again. The sleeping church is a church that have not been able to discern that the instruction to jump can never be an instruction from God. The sleeping church is the church that will leave their guard and do what the enemy says to them to do. The sleeping church is a church that is not able to discern the doctrine of Balak. Now there are many amongst us who yet use the name of Jesus. But the Bible is saying they cast stumbling block on the way of the Israelites. They cast stumbling block on the way of the church. Meaning that the church would have been going well, if not for their kind of ministry. The sleeping church is a church that is not with discernment. The church that receives church, receives such men and let them come in. But you see, like the children of Israel, if you read that story, when Balak brought Balaam to curse them, 7 times they could not be cursed. They were sustained, preserved, and helped. But in Numbers 25, when they went to defile themselves, the Bible said a plague came. A plague came upon them, and thousands of them died in one day. Over 25,000 men. As a matter of fact, somebody did something. One of the men of war of the Israelites, he went to bring a girl from the camp of the enemy and brought her into the covenant, their heritage. And the Bible said he was sleeping with the girl in the tent. Then someone went and drew his javelin and had to pierce them through. You get what I'm saying? And when he pierced them through, the anger of the Lord fell upon that community. And then thousands of them died. So the church is sleeping when they are not discerning who is saying jump. There is a jump that is a jump of faith. But faith works through love. And there is a jump that is a jump of the flesh. And the devil is still telling people, if you are the son of God, jump. You see, in the midst of the tribulations going on in the world, the church has never been in need of answer like what we have now. The church is crying for answer, looking for genuine interpreters, those who can discern the voice of God. What is he saying in this season? What is the Lord saying? You get what I'm saying? Those who are laboring correctly will be standing. But those who have been building upon the sand struggles too. And let me tell you something. And this is not just a mere word. According to scriptures, more tribulations will come. According to scriptures, more tribulations will come. The Bible said in Matthew 24 that this is just the beginning of sorrow. But the end is not yet come. So, until the church can go back to the system of raising men, raising men to be able to stand in the days of tribulation, equipping them with the word, we have to train them and prepare them for our absence, for the days that will not be able to gather physically in the building, that will have fanned to flame a desire in their hearts, like the psalmist said, I'm always glad when I'm told, let's come to the house of the Lord. He said in Psalms 42 from verse 1, as the deer pants after the water brook, so pant my soul after you. Those that have been taught business in church will struggle to stand now, because they understand nothing about tribulation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Those who learn only about leadership in church will struggle to stand now because they understand little or nothing about tribulation. Those who learn only about the relationship in church will struggle to stand now because they understand nothing about tribulation. We have to start preaching the whole counsel of God without fear, without being afraid. I believe one of the proofs that you are not full of the Holy Ghost is that when you preach, you are afraid of what men will say. You are afraid to say that if a sinful man is caught in his sinful ways, there is a voice that will come to him that I never knew did, that workers of iniquity.
The Bible said in Matthew 24 verse 12, that because iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. The sleeping church is a church that gets teachers after their own lust. The sleeping church is a church that dictates what the preachers to preach and what they want to hear. And they are a sleeping church. But I've come to discover that for there to be a sleeping church, there must be a sleeping angel over the church. For there to be a sleeping church, there must be a church that has no candlestick before the throne. For there to be a sleeping church, there must be an angel that is sleeping, the one that cannot be sent, who is deaf but my messenger. For there to be a sleeping church, there must be a servant who can no longer hear what the master is saying. And much more than ever, now it's time to prepare men to stand alone. Because there will be many events in the last days that will not aid our physical gatherings. The sleeping church is a church that has no people that can stand. I have few things against you, that you have welcomed them that have the doctrine of Balaam, of Balak, that cast stumbling stones against the Israelites. That in those days when people are caught in addiction, they cry for help. But now there seems to be a revelation of a new dimension of grace that tells people that you can mess up, and yet your birthright is still intact. Not so. The grace of God is not unto lasciviousness. The grace of God is not a remedy after sin. The grace of God is a preparatory energy to protect you from sinning. When you have sinned, it is mercy that you needed. You get what I'm saying? Mercy is the provision made when you have messed up. Grace is the provision made for you not to mess up. But the Bible says, shall we continue in sin and ask that grace would abound? Is somebody following what I'm saying here? So there is a church that needs to rise. And that's the governing church. There's a church that needs to rise, and that's the church of Jesus. There's a church that needs to rise, and that's the church of power. The church that has been taught to stand. That yet, even in the midst of the pandemic and the instruction to stay home, these ones are still doing God's work faithfully. They are still finding one way or the other to evangelize. They are still praying. They are still fasting, because they've been taught to do so. If a church is pastor dependent, then that church has not been built correctly. We need to build men so that in the days of our absence, they can still stand. I'm not saying to build men as sheep without shepherd. I'm saying to build men as those who understand the times and seasons that we are in. Men that will not have to be told it's time for prayer before they pray. Men that will not have to be told it's time for worship before they worship. Men that will not have to be told to pick their Bibles before they study. And that's the governing church. Is somebody following me? He said, you are a church of tribulation period. You are a church that have witnessed many being killed amongst you. But the reason why you are not alert is because you have a doctrine, and the doctrine is eating into your heart. It is a doctrine that is no longer allowing them that are caught in sin turn to God in repentance. The doctrine tells them that tomorrow will be all right, even when the enemy is snatching today, forgetting that today is the seed of tomorrow. Amen. I have few things against you. You have tolerated charlatans, those who are not a part of the commonwealth of what we hold. You have allowed comedians step on the stage and even establish doctrines. You know, the reason why some men who have no say in ministry will have to dictate many things and have their own sheeple, not people, not sheep, and have people that are gullible, falling after their own lascivious ways, is because we have allowed wolves creeping. Sometimes we give people leadership position on the strength of their anointing, not on the strength of the workings of God in them. And they come and they plunder the sheep. They plunder the investment of God. These few things I have against you, though you are in the midst of tribulation, but you are not seeing it. Because you are sleeping. I've shared this vision several times. I remember years ago, when God was speaking to me about the ministry, He showed me a vision. He showed me a vision. And each time I shared the vision, my heart melts. Because I can never forget. It rings in my consciousness. And I saw in the sky, a little bird, you know, enjoying the cool of the day, basking in the joy of the breeze. You get what I'm saying? Fluttering the wings in the sky. But somewhere along the line, an eagle, a big bald eagle, saw the bird enjoying the day. And the eagle followed after the bird with full strength, followed strongly after the bird. Are you following me? But the bird ran for safety. That was the vision God showed to me. And a small bird ran towards the mother for safety and landed beside the mother. And the eagle, being afraid of the size of the mother, landed far away from them. But the eagle was getting closer gradually. And as the eagle was getting closer, the small bird was eating the mother with the feathers, trying to alert the mother that there was danger around. But the mother couldn't see, and how could the mother respond to touch? So the eagle moved closer. And when the eagle saw that the mother of the bird couldn't see, the eagle stood there in the presence of the mother, stretched the wings, fixed it to the neck of the small bird, then broke the neck of the small bird. And the Lord told me, he said, "Son, what I've shown to you is the state of my church. The small bird represents innocent children coming to find refuge. And the eagle represents the devil. The big bird represents the church. The church is yet blind, while the devil comes in and yet kill people, slaughter them, while the church is not seen. Our blindness, our slumber is costing us much. And that's why the Lord is saying, wake up." Is somebody following me? Our slumbering is what? Costing us much. And that's why the Lord is saying, wake up. Now look at this. Isaiah 42 verse 18. Isaiah 42 verse 18. "Hear ye deaf, look ye blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect? And blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but heareth not." And this is the state of the sleeping church. They see many things, but they observe not. Their ears are open, but they hear nothing. Meaning that the church that is not quick to observe, to sense and discern times and seasons, still sleeping. They are not quick to observe, discern times and seasons. They are still what? Sleeping. I saw a scripture, and the scripture blessed my heart. Mark chapter number 4. The scripture blessed my heart. Mark 4. Mark chapter number 4. Verse 11 and 12. "And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to them that are without, all these things are done but in parables." Are you get what I'm saying? Meaning that when people lack of understanding, it is not a sign that they are part of the fold. If you are a part of the fold, and yet mysteries are not unfolded to you, God is saying that you are dwelling as one who is without. He said to those who are outside, these things are only done in parables. You can't imagine growing up in your father's house and your father trying to talk to your siblings, communicating to them in codes, and yet you are a son. It's time to cry out. Is somebody following me? Now look at verse 12. "That seeing they may see and not perceive." Meaning that if a man stands before you and tell you that I perceive, that this is what the Lord is saying, his perception is stronger than what you are seeing. In God's light, perception is stronger than hearing. In God's light, perception is stronger than what? Hearing. And I believe God is instructing somebody that we can be a tribulation church in the midst of the adversity of the world, but yet not prepared, not on fire, not seen, not strong enough to know what the Lord is saying. Remember the height from whence you have fallen. Let your heart be where God is. Don't be asleep. I understand that there's going to be a season of coldness, and I believe it has come to pass. While both the 10 virgins, both the wise and the foolish, were asleep, but now we are in the season of the great noise. We're in the season of the great noise. Imagine while the virgins were sleeping, the noise came, but some were still sleeping. Are you seeing that? Imagine that the virgins were sleeping. The voice came, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," but some are still sleeping. What you are hearing now is a cry, a preparatory one, preparing us for the supper of the Lamb. It's a cry from the Lord, saying, wake up from slumbering. You know, when you are asleep, things can be stolen from you and you don't even know. We read the story of another kind of sower that sowed good seeds on his field. But the Bible said, at night, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tears in the midst of wheat. The sleeping church will not discern what the enemy is sowing. The sleeping church will not discern chaff, will not discern tares. The sleeping church will not see it. When you are asleep, you give room for the enemy to operate. While men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares in the midst of wheat. While men slept. in Luke chapter number 1, the Bible said a cry has been heard in Ramah. Rachel weeping for her children, for they are no more. The time of tribulation is not the time to sleep. One of the ways you know babies is that they can sleep anywhere and at any time. You hear what I'm saying? As long as the situation gives them a little bit of breeze of comfort, they are fast asleep. And this is not the trademark of those that are mature. No. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes that woe to the land when your king is a child and your nobles rise up to eat early in the morning. Woe to the land when you are ought to be mature, but yet you dwell like children. In the sleeping church, the enemy can come and sow discord. In the sleeping church, the enemy can come and sow lust. In the sleeping church, the enemy can come and sow greed. There's nothing that has crippled the church of the last days like greed. Like even when God is giving a man a call to his assignment, greed sometimes will say, I need to prove to my generation that I'm also doing fine. And they struggle with the Lord around this calling. And I believe God is calling somebody this afternoon, this morning, to wake up from slumbering. I want to give us the next minute. We'll pray loud and clear and tell God, this morning I'm revived to wake up from slumbering. I'm revived in the name of Jesus. I will not be asleep anymore. Wake me up, stir me up in the name of Jesus. I refuse to reject the materials that will keep me awake and alive, strengthened in you. Wake me up in the name of Jesus. Decree and declare. Shalom akrono mokushinti. Jesus. Mande kolo mokrono mokushinti. Shalom akande mokushinti. Briki bala makende mokushinti. Zina makrono mokonde mokushinti. Mande krono mokubrumbu kuratia. Rakabatia. Go ahead, declare. Pray for yourself. Don't act like it. Don't pretend like you are not sleeping. Ask the Lord to revive you. Ask Him to revive you. Don't pretend like these events are not taking place within you. Ask the Lord to revive you. Revive me, Lord. Strengthen me. Revive me, Jesus. Strengthen me. Revive me, Jesus. Strengthen me, Jesus. I receive your revival. Revive me, Jesus. Shalamakunde brombo koroni makosho. Wake me up, Jesus. Keep me awake. Wake me up in the name of Jesus. I refuse to be carried away. Wake me up from slumbering. I look like I'm awake, but I cannot deny the fact that I'm asleep. Wake me up from slumbering. Keep me awake, Jesus. Keep me awake. Strengthen me. Keep me awake. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Father. Shanda brumbu kuveni makande rukushete. Zigrana mukumbu kuveni makeshte felisha. Jesus. Salamakende rukushente. I receive help. Keep me awake, Jesus. Strengthen my heart. Keep me awake. In this season, I will not fall asleep. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we're praying. Look at the message sent to the Audacious Church. Revelation 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, but I would that thou were cold nor hot. I read someone saying that God was not speaking about people being on cold or hot. If he wasn't speaking about this, what was he saying? It means the Laodicean church, a church that have the signboard of men on fire. They have the placard that display that they are on fire. But God is saying, you only look warm. You look warm. That's why you are lukewarm. You are neither hot nor cold. But I wish that you were neither hot nor cold. The reason is simple. If you were cold, we would know you need help. If you were hot, you will help others. But if you are lukewarm, we don't understand. No one can help you. Because Samson was an example of a lukewarm Christian, a lukewarm Christian. He carried the anointing, but not the character. So each time he was talked to, each time he was corrected for not having the character of the anointing, he simply goes ahead to manifest the anointing. So the manifestation of the anointing is not a sign of fire. It's not a sign of fire. And that's what the Lord is saying. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold. And I wish that you were hot. Is somebody following me? And lastly, you're going to pray for yourself. Father, revive me. Revive me. In this dying world, I want to carry your word. Revive me. Do something to me. Revive me. Let a revival start my heart. Revive me, Jesus. Shalamakonde rokushite. Makinda rokumbro kurene makinde rokushite. Zingwene mokurene mokubrumbo kurokushite. Jesus. Revive me, Jesus. Revive me, Jesus. Revive me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Ask for the revival and the Lord to strengthen you. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we're praying. Amen. One of the things I want to encourage you, if you are hearing me, don't just run with a track record. Run with a current form. Run with current form. Don't just run with track record. We understand you have stories of what God is, but let there be a sign that the same God is still working. Let there be freshness on your altar. You hear what I'm saying? The anointing is a proof that a man was once in alignment. Since it is without repentance, we can't tell that it is a guarantee that a man is still in alignment. You hear what I'm saying? Track record is good, but it's important to have a current form also. Add that to the track record, and that's how to become strong. Amen. I believe somebody has been blessed and instructed this morning. Hallelujah. Now, quickly, I'd like you to quickly place your heart on your chest, your hands on your heart, particularly if you are giving your life to Christ or you are rededicating your life to Him. All right? Say after me, Lord Jesus. Say it loud and clear, Lord Jesus. Thank you for sending your word my way. Today, I accept your word and I believe in my heart that indeed you came, you lived as a man, and you died for my sin. I believed that on the third day you rose again for my justification. And I believe also that when you rose, any man who believes in you rose with you. And I accept that life. I accept that reality. In Jesus' powerful name, we are prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. If you just said that prayer, you can write to us. There are numbers on the page. Send us a message. We'd like to hear from you so we can follow you up. Glory to God. Now, the account number of the ministry is being displayed on the screen. Pandemic doesn't mean we should not give offering. But I'd like to also strike a balance. If you have nothing to give, God is going to bless your pocket. So by this time next week, when there's an opportunity again to give, you'll have more than enough in the name of Jesus. You can give your offering, you can give your tithe. If you are doing any of the both, if you are giving your tithe, reach out to any of our pastors. They will send messages on the platforms. And then you can reach out and then we'll pray with you. God will bless you in Jesus' name. I want to ask, has someone been blessed this morning? Has someone been instructed? Say, we'll not be the sleeping church. We are the governing church. We are the governing church. Hallelujah! Glory to God. I want to really bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you for worshiping with us. We love you. I'd like to have you more with us. We have our branches in Ibadan. Bodija, precisely all over the road, get directions. And in Ife also, we have a branch, just adjacent campus gate, opposite Poplat Oil. They call it a Apostle platform. We have able ministers platform where we train pastors. We have different kinds of platform. Because we're a walking church. We believe in work. We walk the walk of him that sent us while it is day. So you can join any of these platforms. We'll be waiting to bless you. God bless you. And thank you for worshiping with us this morning. From the depth of our heart, we love you. So can we share the grace together in unity, wherever you are? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercies are following us all the days of our lives. For we are the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. See you next week.
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.